Good afternoon or evening or whatever time it is, wherever everyone is. My name is Chuendo. I am a liar and a food addict from Omaha, Nebraska. I'm grateful to be here today on Unity Day. To qualify, I came into Overeaters Anonymous. I came in Overeaters Anonymous in 2006, in March 2006, so almost 20 years ago now. And I came in over 600 pounds, came in really just didn't know what to do with my life. And so I came into a room, I looked it up. I searched it up on the internet, as my children like to say, and I went to a meeting. I went to a meeting with five or seven older ladies, seven older white ladies, and I was the and I was locked in. I knew that when I heard them speak about the disease of compulsive overeating, I knew I had what they had. And so I just kept coming back. I didn't necessarily take direction, but I did stay in the rooms. I never left the rooms. And so 17 years later in program in 2023, found myself still morbidly obese, over 500 pounds still, and not really working a program, but feeling like I was on death's door. And it was at that point, where I decided I had made that decision, right? That I was going to do this thing. I was going to do the whole thing. I was going to listen to somebody. And so I did. So I started that. I got abstinent for the first time with real significance, a measurable abstinence on March 11th, 2023. And since then, one day at a time, I've had quite the experience. So today I'm like 325 pounds. So I'm down over 275 pounds in Overeaters Anonymous. But today is about unity. And when I walked into the rooms, there was all, I don't think I identified as someone, I didn't identify as somebody who, like, oh, these people aren't like me, so I can't get the message from these people. I mean, when I came in, it just felt like everybody was every message felt like it just felt like a life beyond my wildest dreams. Hearing what people said, their freedom from food neutrality, things like that. But I didn't actually, when I look back, I was not actually concerned with doing what they did. I just wanted the results that I saw that they had. So, like, the idea or the concept of unity was kind of completely lost on me. But what happened is, and what's been happening very significantly over these last 3 years in abstinence and having the spiritual experience is that I get to participate with everyone in the rooms, whether online or in person. And that's not a position that I took. Because it wasn't that I didn't, I don't even think I was like, oh, there's not enough men, there's not enough black people, there's not enough people of color, there's not enough, when I came in, I was 26, there were not very many young people. It was just that I was terminally unique. Like, so it didn't, like, all those things where I didn't relate didn't matter because nobody had the disease like I had the disease. You know what I mean? Because I was 600 pounds and My death was larger or more imminent. And my problem was worse than your guys's problem. That I wasn't gonna, I, it was just me in my head. And what the unity called for was for me to like not even concern myself with me, right? Like for me to surrender my food, right? And then like join the people of the program, man, woman, old, young, and be willing to get vulnerable and care about them more than I cared about myself. And as someone who was a liar, who didn't know that he was a liar, I didn't know that I told lies. I didn't know that I didn't know how selfish I was, really. I'm still learning that. I'm still learning that about myself. It's one of the toughest things about being a compulsive overeater. Like I didn't ever think I was going to live a life outside of 400 or 500 pounds. And here I've been, I've been away from, I've been in the threes for well over 18 months, and I'm lighter and moving around and doing things I have never done in my life. And I thought that was the life beyond my wildest dreams. I did not have a clue about the bondage of self. And the closer I stick to the people in the rooms, the more is revealed to me about that. And that's what I want to be freed from, right? So, I have a higher power today that asked me, am I willing to accept everyone in the room just as they are? And today I am. And today I almost rejoice in the fact that there's something for me to learn from every single one of you, right? Whatever you share, however you share, whether you're sharing the mess or the message, whether you're abstinent or not, to love the people in the rooms. Because that's what happened to me for 17 years. I mean, I was a drunk with food and I came in the rooms for 17 years. And I showed all different levels of my disease, but really, it was the unity that eventually punctured the ego. I heard that term so many years ago. I'll just be another bozo on the bus. And I remember I used to kind of like chuckle in my head, like I said it like I was just another bozo on the bus, but I didn't believe it because I thought I was special. I thought I had this thing special and I thought it had me special, and I lived in that space. So really this last that last 3 years has been about really staying dumb in program, like doing what I did on day one and repeating that. And then each day, saying the set aside prayer, can I set aside everything I think I know about all these people in this room? The person that is on camera, the person that's on camera, the person that I feel like raises their hand too much, the person that always has to be the first person to share at the meeting, the person that never shares at the meeting, I mean, I had to set aside all of that, right? I had to set aside if there were enough men in the meeting, if there were enough people of color in the meeting. Oh, I went to a BIPOC meeting. Guess what? I didn't like that either, right? Because the thing is I find problems where there are none, right? That's the disease of me. That's the bondage of self that I carry with me. Surrendering my ideas and joining all of you allows me to have a life that I can't conceive by myself. I can't even conceive it by myself. And so frequently, like people ask, like, hey, how did you do this or how did you do that? And I'll be like, I just stayed dumb. Like, how do you stay abstinent? I don't know. I don't know how to stay abstinent. I mean, I got a gift and I just been trying to hold on to it. I don't know how I got abstinent. But I know that when I care about the people that show up in these spaces, right? When I care about all the people in the room, when I'm willing to extend my hand with grace and with love, and that's what happened to me. And I'll be honest, I hated Overeaters Anonymous. There was a part of me that hated it. I hated being a part of it. I hated being fat. I didn't think it worked. Even though I saw it work for other people, I was like, it's not going to work for me, but I knew there was nothing else for me. And it was just the like, okay, I'm going to keep going. So like, I guess what I would say to anyone who is here today, right? And they don't know if it will work for them, like, find someone to take direction from, you know? Like I hear all the time, like I hear like find someone that has what you want and do what they do. And I would say find someone who's abstinent, and you don't even have to like them, but just be willing to take direction, right? Because I've never had anyone who works a good program that doesn't do things with everybody, that doesn't participate with everyone. And doesn't and everyone that has what I want understands how the sickness, how pervasive it is, right? But what I'm learning is that I'm also in the clutches of a prolific solution today, right? And the prolificness, I don't know if that's a word, the prolificness of that solution includes everybody, right? It includes everyone. You know, and I didn't want to hear that because deep down, my disease wants me alone and dead. And if everyone can help me, that makes me far less special than I want to. My ego just, oh, I can't be that. I'm more important than that. I can't have the same problem as Connie and Dottie and Cheryl and Warren. And Claire, that can't be me. But the thing is it is. I keep it simple. My life feelings come and I want to kill myself with copious amounts of sugar, flour, and fat in combination. And I show up to these places because I'm like you, right? Regardless of what I look like, regardless of what I sound like, regardless of what country I'm from. When life gets scary, I want to disappear into a box of something. But one day at a time, trusting you guys more than I'm trusting that box or trusting that drive-through, right?
2 minutes.
Got it. Surrendering my ideas and just being that bozo on the bus, recognizing that I have a higher power that's my director. And that everyone else has their own experience with that, like their own higher power, whatever it is, whatever higher power is for you, right? Like I get to surrender all that, and I just get to be your brother, you know, right next to you, and you get to be my brother, my sister, right next to me, and that is a blessing. That is. And the biggest blessing of this thing is the not doing it alone. And extending my hand to this person, the people who are still sick, and the people who have more wisdom and more time and more experience in this program, and me being able to go to them and get information and get knowledge, right? And for the first time, being in a place where like, getting knowledge is actually useful because I've surrendered that all my ideas are great. You know, I mean, this disease was going to take me out. It was going to take me out, and I was going to blame it. I was going to blame this program for not fixing me, when really it was my lack of surrender to be a part of the entire group that was really keeping me sick. I have no clue if that's what I was supposed to talk about, because I don't know if I mentally prepared for this properly, but that's what I have to say today on Unity Day. Have a fantastic Saturday on purpose.